So, do I have any children volunteers before I tell you what I have to give away today? No? Okay, come on up. He who volunteers first. I can use several. You missed out, Joe. You should have been here. So, if you guys would sit on the front row. So, I have Hershey's Kisses and peppermints. What would you like? Peppermint. Can't open it, but you can have it for now.
Hershey Kiss.
Good choice.
Thank you.
Hershey Kiss.
Okay. Now, I need somebody to get their phone out because we're going to do a timer thing and I don't want to get out mine. Who's going to volunteer to time? Jeremy's got it. Okay, I need one, let's say a minute, 30 seconds. Okay. So, would you like two peppermints?
Sure.
Okay, would you like two kisses?
Sure.
Would you like two kisses? Are you willing, do you want them right now? Are you willing to wait a minute and 30 seconds?
Sure.
Which one? Wait?
Wait.
Wait? Wait? Good answer. But now, when you're waiting, you have to really wait. You can't have them. You okay with waiting? Okay, well, that's good. And Jeremy will tell us when time's up. Okay, so the scripture today is going to be about we have a tendency when we want stuff. I bet this isn't for any of the rest of you, it's just me. When we want stuff, we want it like now. We don't want to wait. And so a minute, 30 seconds really isn't that long, is it? Is it very long? Does it seem long to you? Because you don't get to eat the Hershey's Kiss right now anyway, right? So do you guys think that's very long to wait? Okay, well, what if it was 5 minutes or days? How many of you love Oreo cookies? Okay, how many of you eat more than one Oreo cookie at a time? Yeah, not me. I only have one a day, and I keep them in the freezer to make sure that I don't eat more than one a day. It is very hard to do, okay? So where are we at on time, Jeremy? 15 seconds? Man, that was a long minute and a half. So the scripture today is going to be about, are we willing to wait till God wants to bring us what we need, or do we come impatient and try to get stuff on our own? And so I'd like for all of us to think about that. Do we become so impatient that we just rush through stuff? Oh, I hear the bell ringing.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So as we go throughout the day, And if there's something you want right away, whatever it is, just remember sometimes God doesn't bring stuff to us right away, but we have to be patient for it. And sometimes it's really hard. Does anybody else have trouble with patience? Waiting? I know, we all do to some degree. Do you have trouble?
I was waiting for this, but it
didn't happen. Oh. Okay, let us pray. Father, we're so thankful and grateful that we can become more patient, that we don't have to have everything in the whole entire world right away. Be with us, guide us and direct us in how you want us to do things and not in the way that we want to. Amen. So our scripture today is from Luke. It's chapter 12, verses 13 through 21. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Man, who made me judge or arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take care and be on your guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." And he told them a parable, saying, "The land of a rich man produced plentiful." And he thought to himself, "What should I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops." And he said, "I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build large ones. And there I will store all my grain and all my goods. And I will say to my soul, 'Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'Fool, this night your soul is required of you. And the things you have prepared, whose will they be?' So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God." So I called this message stuff, because we all have lots of stuff. Now, I talked to my neighbor Dave, who passed away. He had lots of stuff. His garage was full of stuff. It was a two-car garage. He never parked a car in it the 4 years he lived there, because it had stuff in it. And he had a pole barn in the back of, you know, a small shed, and it was full of stuff. And one day I was talking to him, and he rented another barn to put more stuff in. Okay? Now, when I was a banker, I financed lots of those little storage unit things. And does it seem like there's a million of them? And you know why? Because people have stuff and they don't throw it away. Or they don't give it away. And so anytime I was financing those, I would always check to see how full the other ones were around them. And you know what I found? They were always full. Or at least they were rented. And for the guy that owned them, he didn't care if they were full or not, but he did care if they were rented. And so people not only had stuff 2,000 years ago, we got stuff now. So this guy's wanting his inheritance, and he wants Jesus to arbitrate the dispute. Now, it was not uncommon for the rabbi to settle disputes like this, but Jesus doesn't really want to get involved in it. But what it does, it does give him the opportunity to give his thoughts on material possessions. And so you had this man with abundant possessions. He had all these storage barns that he'd built to put stuff in. But the problem was, he didn't see beyond himself. In the study that we're doing on Ecclesiastes, he talks a lot in there about what is it to collect all this stuff and have all these things, and then you just give it away when you die, because you can't take it with you. And so this guy never saw beyond himself. He only thought about the stuff he could accumulate and what he could have now. He never thought about giving it away. Now, I love to watch the History Channel. My wife thinks it's the most boring thing I do in the world. But they had a thing on the Shah of Iran the other day. And what they were talking about was parties. And so he got thrown out of Iran in like the late 70s. My history is keeping me correct on this. But they were talking about a weekend party he threw. So this is early 1970 dollars. He only spent $20 million on it. Only spent $20 million. Now, when you have all the money in the world, I suppose $20 million, you know, it's like they say, $20 million here, $20 million there. Pretty soon you're talking about real money. And so I don't know how he spent all that money, but he spent it on a party. Now, at the same time, a lot of people in Iran were very poor and didn't really have anything. And so I think you compare this guy and the Shah of Iran, because he just has all this stuff, but he's not going to share it with anyone. So I was at a meeting last week, and one of the speakers gave this quote, and he attributed it to his mom, but he didn't know if his mom took it from somebody else. But he said, a man wrapped up in himself, like this guy is a very small man, where it's all about you. And so what he's trying to do, he's trying to find happiness in his stuff. And I think a lot of people do that. You go by and somebody's got a pontoon and a speedboat and, you know, jet skis and just stuff. And it's okay to have stuff, but don't make stuff your whole life. That's what they're really telling. So I like to pull out John Wesley quotes whenever I can. And so this was a John Wesley belief that he had, and he was able to live it. So for him, he wanted everybody to earn all you can. Now, he expected you to do that morally and legally. You weren't supposed to take advantage of people. You weren't supposed to cheat people. But you were supposed to earn all you can. And then when you earned it, you were supposed to save all you could. Because if you earn it all but you spend it all, then all you're just spending. You're not really gaining anything. So he wanted it to be saved. And then most importantly, what he wanted you to do was to give all you could away. And I don't think we do that very well. You have some people that give. On average, people give to the church around 2 or 3%. When we talk about tithing, and tithing sort of usually 10, that's not what normal people do. And when people give to charities, any time I've ever been involved in any not-for-profits, that's about the number they see, that it's not just church. People in general give like 2 or 3% of what they earn to something, whether it's something they're really interested in, whether it's church, whatever the not-for-profit is. So I haven't really talked to you guys about this recently, or maybe ever, but on September the 20th, we're going to have a Dave Ramsey Financial Peace class that's going to be here at the church. If my date's right, it's a Tuesday, and we're doing, I think it's either 8 or 9 Tuesdays in a row. It'll be at 6:30 to, the website says 8:30 when I looked at it last night, but I think we're really going to try to be done closer to 8. If you have anyone in your family that struggles with saving and spending in an appropriate way, you might suggest to them that they go to the website and they can sign up there. The class will be in person here. I think it's especially important for people that are contemplating getting married. I'm doing a wedding in September, and they're going to hear from me this week that they need to get signed up for that, because one of the largest reasons for divorce is financial issues. And it's not about whether they have money or don't have money. It's, can they agree on the way that they're supposed to spend their money or save their money or give their money? Because people really struggle with that. And so if you know anybody, they can either call me and I can figure out how to get them signed up, or they can go to the website and sign up, and it's going to be here at the church. And so I would really encourage you to do that, because it's not about how much stuff you collect. It's really about how much you can give away to help other people. It's okay to earn it and do it as long as it's honestly, but you want to be able to give away as much as you can. It's a lot more fun to give away money than earn money. At least that was always my experience. Sometimes it's fun to earn it too, but it's more fun to give it away. And so this guy never saw beyond his lifetime. He only was worried about him being alive now to spend the money. And so in the commentary I was reading, there was a story, and it's about this young man. And what do you guys want him to be? You pick the trade, any trade. A little help from the crowd. Bricklayer. He wants to be a bricklayer. And so you have to learn that scale. And so the older man says, well, what do you want to do as you grow up? He goes, I want to be a bricklayer. And he said, okay. And so after you learn that trade, what are you going to do? And he said, well, I'm going to set up my own business. He said, I want to have my own business as a bricklayer, and I'll hire other people to be my bricklayer, help me with bricklaying. And he says, well, then what after you start your business? He goes, well, I'm going to make my fortune. And he said, I'm going to be the best bricklayer in the whole entire world, the largest bricklaying company. He said, we're going to just lay brick. We're just going to walk down the street and lay brick. We don't even have to be paid for it. We're just going to be laying brick. But he said, I'm going to make my fortune that way. And then the older man said, then what? He said, well, I'm going to grow old, but he said, I'm going to have lots of money and I'm going to have lots of stuff. Because he said, I'm going to be able to buy anything I want, do anything I want, travel however I want. And he said, then I'm just going to have everything I need. And then the old man said to him one more time, then what? Because we don't live forever. So it's the old joke, has anyone ever seen a Brinks truck in a funeral procession? The answer is no, unless it was accident. But it's not there. You can't take it with you. And so the question is, how do you want to be remembered? How do you want God to lead you to help other people or organizations? So how many of you know, do anybody here know Steve Gill, that part of Gill Brothers? Okay, he's a nice guy. The way I got to know Steve is that he and I served on a Better Ways board. And I don't know if you guys pay attention to when there's not-for-profits are doing things and they have sponsors, but Steve and his brother Richard sponsor a lot of organizations in the community. And one time we were talking about something for a Better Way, and I said, Steve, it is really nice that you and your brother give so much to a Better Way. And he said, what we do at the beginning of a year is we sit down, because he said, he has things that he likes better than things I like, and I have things I like better than what he. So what we do is we kind of decide at the beginning of the year what not-for-profits, what organizations that we think we can help and benefit and we have an interest in, and so we do that. And I said, well, I think it's really nice that you do that, and you guys give a pretty good sum of money. And he said, well, he said, Richard and I don't always agree on everything, but he said, one of the things we do agree on is you can't outgive God, because God does so much for us each and every day. And he said, I don't think people always recognize it. And so part of this scripture here is that it's not so important that what you collect, your stuff, however you get your stuff, but the question is, how are you going to give back to God for all the things he's given to you? And so what I'd like for you to do is think about how you can give back. And sometimes it's about being patient. Now, did anybody think a minute and 30 seconds was longer than they thought it was going to be this morning when Jeremy was timing the candy? Yeah, because originally the thing I got said you were supposed to wait 5 minutes. That would have been an eternity. And so I cut it down because I thought, man, 5 minutes is a long time. Even for a preacher, that's a long time just to stand up there and talk about stuff. Well, maybe not all preachers, but at least this one. And so the question is, are we willing to wait for God's time, or do we want it to be on our own time? And are we willing to share what God has given us so freely with others? So, you know, sometimes you have homework. This is homework. Think about what God is asking you to do, what God is asking you to share, how you're supposed to share your resources with the church, with other not-for-profits. And again, if you have anyone that you think could benefit from learning a little bit more about finances and how they want to go about doing that, especially either younger married. Although the oldest couple, this will be my sixth class, the oldest couple I ever had in the class, they were both in their mid-70s. And I thought, well, why? I'm wondering why they were here. And they had just gotten married. They'd known each other their whole lives. Both their spouses had died. And they decided to get married, and they were in their mid-70s. And I said, well, what's the problem? They said, well, the problem's not between us. The problem is with our kids. Both sets of kids are afraid that the other family's going to get their stuff. And they didn't finish the class. And I asked the pastor of the church, if I saw him like a year later, how they were doing. He said, they ended up getting divorced because it just wasn't worth all the angst in the family. So for the kids, the stuff was more important than the parents' happiness. So our last hymn this morning, To God Be the Glory. Once the music group gets up here, if you'd stand and join us, please. Father, be with us all as we go out into your world. Guide us and direct us in all that we say and do. Let us be open to how you want us to give our treasures to other people, other organizations. Show us the way to help bring people to know your love and grace. In your precious name we pray. Amen.